Join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton for a special Believer's Voice of Victory as they study God's Word about God's righteousness and influence in our nation. A timely message that will strengthen your thinking and encourage your heart.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Today, Brother David Barton is back here with us again. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we want to turn this thing over him just as quick as we can. Father, we just thank you and praise you. Thank you for sending Brother Barton to us to help us to get information and insight, ideas and concepts of what actually happens behind closed doors and in the background of in political decisions that are made that affect all of our lives, Lord, because this is important to us to know what to do and how to do. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray your perfect will be done in the elections in this nation. In the name of Jesus. Amen. David, let's go back over there to the book of Ephesians where we were yesterday. This became especially precious in my thinking. It just kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Where the Bible talks about wrestling against the wiles of the devil, mm-hmm. against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against these principalities and powers who control flesh and blood.
That's right.
We're not against them, but there's some things flesh and blood do that you just can't go along with because it's going to get you entangled in it. Then he says, in order to stand against that, we have to have on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then he says, put it on. You have to take the armor of God and put it on. It doesn't just come on you when you got saved. It became available to you when you got saved. But that authority is very special to God. He paid a dear price for it. So now, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and then praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he's saying somewhere in this, you're going to have to stand. You got to stand on something. So what are you standing on? Well, I'm standing on the Word of God, Brother Copeland. Well, that's good. That's what we ought to be standing on. Are you standing on what I said about it or what Brother David said about it? Are you standing on what God said about it? Sure. Now then, yesterday we were talking about these political platforms, and one thing that came out of that, David, that that really struck my spirit, you were talking about all this process. It just, like here in the state of Texas, starts off with literally millions people with input, this is what we'd to see, and then it comes up to where when you get right down to it, we know what the people in the state of Texas think about this.
That's right.
And then that candidate is going to have to stand on that. Now, in the presidential election, you were talking about also that the presidential candidate has a good, strong, at least 10% of that platform he or she put that in.
That's right.
Now, I said all that to get back to this. When I look at what they stand on and what my life stand is on.
Yeah.
And then I go over here, says I'm redeemed from the curse. And I get over here and I find out what the curse is. And I begin to see things in there that if I do this, that's going to come to pass. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go do that. I'm not going to go pay for abortions and get involved in that. I'm not going to do that. But now, Brother Copeland, man, but that's the politicians, you know, they're talking about that. Yeah, but if you vote for them, you just said, okay, I'm going to stand on this platform mm-hmm. with you. That's what really hit me yesterday.
Well, you remember with Korah, when you had this deal between Moses and Korah, and you know, Korah was challenging Moses' leadership, and you got this thing in leadership, and Moses said, okay, those of you that are with Korah, come on out and stand with him. I mean, you make a choice on who your leader's going to be, and then there's consequences that go with both of that. Now, in the case of Korah and his followers, the earth opened up and swallowed it. But you don't just say, I'm going to choose a leader, and it doesn't have any consequence on me. When you make a choice for a leader, you're part of that leader's team. You're then part of his policies. You're then part of his statements. You become part of that team.
I just saw something about Korah that I'm going to preach. I just saw it. When he took his stand, stand over in a place where the principalities and the powers yeah, could get to him.
That's right, he did.
Those that took yeah. a stand with Moses, they couldn't touch
that's
him.
That's right.
So it did matter
it
where
did
you
matter.
Went. You stand over there with him, you're standing on his platform,
you're
man.
You're standing on his platform.
And if you can't stand on God's word and that platform at the same time, you better stay off that platform because
right.
it hasn't got anything under right. it. There's no foundation.
And that's
foundation
why people
under.
Ought to go read both platforms of the party or whatever party. You know, we said there's going to be probably 15, 17 names on the ballot. Wherever you think you're going, read the platform.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to be standing right there by saying, I cast my vote with him. I'm getting in that tent over there. This is where I'm going. I'm getting with Korah. I'm getting with Moses, whoever I'm going. Know where you're going to be standing.
I'll tell you another way it came up in my thinking. Let's say someone stands up and says, I'm receiving an offering today,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and with this offering, I am going to go across the street, and I'm going to buy that building over there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to build a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
And another fellow says, well, I'm receiving an offering, and I'm going to go over and buy that property over there, and I'm going to build a new church over there. Well, does it matter where I put my
yeah,
offering?
That's right.
Why does it matter where I put my mm-hmm. offering? Because wherever I put my offering, I have taken a stand. Mm-hmm. I have stood on something.
Yeah.
I've stood for something. I've stood against something. I've made my stand. That vote is a stand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't particularly agree with the guy, Brother Copeland, but, you know, we got to have help in these finances. Hey, right here's where your finances are.
That's right.
This is where your
That's
finances
right.
are.
That's right.
Now, let me ask you this, Dave.
Yep.
This throws us back over into this situation. Now, we just hear a whole lot of talk. I mean, we can read their platforms and get, I mean, that's in their own words.
That's
what the
that's right.
biggest part of that party believes, and the people that vote for them, that's what they believe.
And this is their roadmap. They're saying, all right, when we get elected, here's the legislation we're about to pass.
This is where we're going.
This is where we're going. Here's what we're going to do in all these. This contains their roadmap. This tells you what their legislation is they're going to introduce.
I can't get his financial plan without his abortion plan.
That's exactly right.
I can't get his financial
right.
plan without his marriage plan.
That's right.
I can't find out what he's going to do financially. I can't support that without supporting what he's going to do when it concerns the quality of my life.
That's right.
And that's more than just finances, because I got to stand on this, man.
Well, you got to go back to issues of righteousness, because the disciples said, oh, man, where do we get our next meal? Where do we get our clothes? Where do we get our job? He says, look at the sparrows. Look at the birds. We take care of them. Look at the flowers, the lilies. He said, you seek first righteousness and all this other stuff will get added to you. If you do the righteousness stuff first, if you go after the things that make for righteousness, all the economic stuff gets added.
Regardless
of what they do. Now, if you go after the economic stuff first, you lose economics and righteousness both. You lose both of them.
Wow.
Only way you get both is go after righteousness, and then with righteousness will come the economic stuff. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other stuff gets added. Righteousness exalts a nation, not the economy exalts a nation, not my job. You ought to be willing to vote for a candidate who will take away your job if it means promoting national righteousness, because God will take care of your job. And if God can bless the nation by righteousness, you'll prosper. And if you start voting economic issues ahead of righteousness issues, you'll lose both of them.
Listen, now that, how do you prioritize? When you look at a list of things here.
You got the platform,
and it's out here in front of you. In fact, this voter issue guide that your ministry has issued, 2008 presidential race. Here's Mr. McCain and Mr. Obama, and here's all the different issues here. Mm-hmm. And then on the back, it shows you where the websites are to get that information from them.
From them.
Not from you. I mean, it's got their websites stuff, information websites here. So I got this now, and I'm looking at this, and I say, well, you know, I'm kind of betwixt tween here. I don't know. What's the most important? How does this affect the overall condition of this nation and its ability to serve God and the things that me and my family are interested in, things we got our life based on? How do I know which issues are more important than the others? Is it because some of these issues have such a strong trickle down to them? If one happens, then it'll automatically go over into other things?
The answer to that question is, I go right back to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures put a priority on the very things we're talking about today.
Praise God.
And in doing that, let's go to the platforms. A platform, you know, it's a structure. I mean, that behind us is a platform. Yeah. It's made up of planks. There's all sorts of wood planks in that behind us.
To hold up something.
And so all of those planks go together to build a platform. A platform is made up of a whole lot of different planks or positions. In a average state platform, you may have 200 planks in the platform. Well, how do I rank that? Are all 200 equal? Just because? No, they're not all equal. If you read the Democrat-Republican platforms, there are going to be dozens and dozens of planks in there. If you look at what God's people had to deal with, look at Nehemiah, who goes back to rebuild a nation. Yeah. You look at what Nehemiah had to deal with in the way of legislation. He has to deal with immigration legislation. He deals with marriage legislation. He deals with military legislation, with economic legislation. I was just reading here yesterday in Nehemiah 4:32 that he wept when he saw the property taxes that were on the nation. I mean, he's ticked off over property taxes. All these things that Nehemiah deals with, but there are some that are more important. Some he pulled his beard out, and others he didn't pull his beard out. I mean, some really got to him because he and Ezra working together in the temple of God, some things really hit God harder than others. And if you go back to the Scripture, and by the way, in 2 Timothy 3:16, we know the Scripture. The Scripture's inspired by God, but verse 17 says, I've given you the Scripture so that you'll be prepared for every good work. And every does mean every. There's not a thing in that platform that's not addressed in the Word of God, either one of those two platforms. So when you get back into the Scriptures, you'll find that God gave 613 laws in His code to guide His people. God deals with immigration laws. He deals with economic laws. God deals with defense and military and war. He deals with energy. I find it intriguing how God deals with the poor. He specifically says, when you harvest your crops, do not harvest the corners. You round them off so that the poor can have that. He tells the vineyard guys, when you pick the grapes, you don't pick up anything that hits the ground, and you don't go back over your vine a second time. You let the poor have that. And He takes care of the poor. He's got all this provision out there on how to do all of that. And then having given 613, He's got a health code. Man, does God have a great health code. We saw just this week another medical study come out proving God's word right again on health code. God's got a killer health code. So health care is a big issue in the Bible. You take all those issues and put them out there. And then in Exodus 34, He comes back and says, now, I'm giving you the whole code. It deals with everything you need in life. It's a comprehensive code on how to live. It tells you how to deal with criminal justice issues, tells you how to deal with juvenile issues, everything. It's there. He says, but here's my priorities. In Exodus 34, He says, this is the tenor of my laws. And the tenor of His laws was He took and reduced them to His top 10, which we now call the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. So He took the 613. He says, now, they're all important, but I want you to know my priority. And so He goes through and gives us 10 things in that priority. So the first thing to do is look and see, do any of these platform issues come under the top 10? Because if they do, that's got to go higher up the list. For example, when I look at the top ten, and we understand that the Ten Commandments are not numbered in the Scriptures. I mean, the Hebrew Bible is a paragraph. Yeah. It is not verses. Yeah. And so when you look at monuments, there are actually five different versions of Ten Commandments. You got a Protestant version, a Catholic version, a Jewish version. You got an Orthodox version. You got a Lutheran version. And they're just all numbered different, all it means. But I love the way the Jews do it. The Jewish, see, if you see a Ten Commandments monument in a park, 99% of those in America are the Protestant version. And it starts by saying, I am the Lord thy God. And then it gives you command 1, 2, 3, 400. In the Jewish version, command 1 says, I am the Lord thy God. Because the Jews say, if you don't recognize God as your source and authority, the rest of it doesn't. That's exactly right. That's right. So Christians make it the prologue, but I love the way Jews do it. So the first thing is acknowledge God. Now, that's the first thing you look for. Where are these guys on public religious acknowledgments? Are they going to suppress the acknowledgment of God in public? Because if you're not God conscious, because it said because they did not like to retain God in their thinking, God gave them over to a depraved mind. First thing you got to do is where are the two parties, where are the two platforms, where are the two candidates on public acknowledgments of God? Do they want the Ten Commandments? Do they want school prayer out there? Do they want us to be God conscious? Do they support nativity scenes in public? All these things that we fight over in the courts, they vote on. We've got votes on them, and they have positions. So that's the first thing. That makes God's top ten. I look on down to issue number 6, and God says, don't shed innocent blood. It doesn't say don't kill. He says don't murder. And so the word murder is shedding innocent blood.
There's 10 different Hebrew words translated in English,
that's
kill.
Right.
Well, the same thing's true in English. You got this whole list of words that murder's one of them.
That's right.
There's self-defense. There's
negligent homicide. That's
there's
right.
All of these. Well, the Bible's same way. There's
same
10
way.
Different Hebrew words. It doesn't say.
And there's a lot of times you can shed blood in the Bible and not be in trouble with God. And
absolutely.
Self-defense is one of them. I mean, you're not in trouble. So you look, but he says, do not shed innocent blood. 100% of the time, that ticks him off. Well, I say, hey, that's abortion, isn't it? We're shedding innocent blood there. That's the difference between abortion and capital punishment. One's guilty blood, one's innocent blood. He says, don't shed innocent blood. Well, abortion made his top 10. The very next command, 7, he says, I told you over in Genesis 1 through 3 how I wanted marriage to work. I gave you Adam and Eve. I put them together. I said, that's good. And I didn't change it, and I haven't moved. Jesus tells us in Luke 19, he did it that way from the beginning. And in the 7th commandment, he says, I want you to preserve the sanctity of marriage like I gave it to you. So I can say, you know, marriage issue makes the top 10. Hey,
yes.
Guess what didn't make the top 10? Environment didn't make the top 10. Energy didn't make the top 10. Healthcare didn't make the top 10. Economics didn't make the top 10. But these issues did. And if I look over here and say, you know, I've got to vote because I've got to save the environment. Well, that's not God's top 10. If I'm going to vote biblically, I've got to have the same priorities he had. And that's the acknowledgement of God, that is preservation or stopping innocent blood being shed, and you've got the preservation of marriage. And then on Monday, we talk specifically about Isaiah 126, where God says you can't be righteous if you don't have the right kind of judges. That makes his top list. So I can look at those four issues and say the first four things I've got to look at on both of these candidates are where are they on those four issues. Now, past that, I can do my own preferences with other things because God doesn't rank them below that. So if I think energy or if I think environment or if I think criminal justice or whatever it is, fine, go for it. But I've at least got to deal with those top 10. And for a Christian to say, oh, I'm not going to look at the abortion issue because I think the economy's really got to be fixed. I mean, this bailout that we're doing in the economy, and it's really turned down in the last two quarters. We've got to fix that. It didn't make God's top 10. Not a single economic issue made God's top 10.
All of that top 10 affects the economy.
That's exactly it.
That's
every
what,
single one of them.
You can't
that
escape
right,
that.
That's right.
It is a firm, unchallengeable law.
That's right.
It will affect.
It will affect the economy. It will affect your pocketbook.
Yes, it will.
If you don't get the righteousness right, and you know, even that immorality thing that goes with the 7th command, where we violate that, where we don't preserve sexual relations as he told us to in the marriage context of a husband and a wife.
And you're going to get all the stuff that goes with it.
We've gone from 6 sexually transmitted diseases to 25 in America. We spend billions of dollars a year on that. We had last year $26.5 billion we spent in one program in federal government to teenage girls who were still in high school who had babies in high school we're taking care of. Now, if we would do the moral stuff right, that would save us $26.5 billion there, not to mention the 25 sexually transmitted diseases we have. And then if we do the Ten Commandments right on things with crime and theft and stealing and look at our prison system, I mean, if you get the moral stuff right, the economic stuff will take care of itself. You'll have a whole lot more prosperity because you're not having to pay government to fix things. And see, that's where Denmark is. Denmark doesn't have a moral stand on. They say whatever you want to do is fine. The tax rate in Denmark is 68%, and that doesn't count your withholding tax. I mean, you start out paying 68. You cannot pay for the consequences of not doing it God's way. There's not enough money in the world to do it.
No, it's there.
You're right. Every bit of that affects economics. You will pay for it. And if you're after economics and you ignore the righteousness issues, you lose righteousness, and you won't have economics. You lose both of them.
My goodness. So we're back now to where you're going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely refuse the idea of not being able to stand before the Lord
Jesus Christ.
I refuse that. I mean, even if and when I miss it, I sin, I still have His Word tells me I can, and I stand on His Word that He is merciful and He is a faithful and righteous high priest to forgive me when I confess it. But when I choose the other,
that's right,
and then try to get Him to bless it,
ain't happening.
It ain't going to happen.
Ain't happening.
And besides that, you just can't get away from over there in 2 Corinthians. It says everybody's going to have to stand before Jesus and be held accountable for every deed you did in your body. Well, what about not voting?
You're accountable. And it's not going to be a happy situation.
No, no. On both sides.
That's right.
Because whatever gets dumped on anybody's going to get dumped on you. And every time you even gripe about it, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because literally, you caused it, or I caused it, by not voting. Because if I didn't vote, I voted for the wrong side every time. And so we're out of time. Brother David, I'll be back in just a moment.
From its earliest moments as a fledgling union, and for decade upon decade, Americans recognized the Holy Bible as central to the shaping of a strong, enduring society. Today, this legacy of scriptural influence is under attack. So, Kenneth Copeland Ministries is pleased to present The Influence of the Bible on America. David Barton of Wall Builders hosts this 90-minute DVD that sets the record straight.
So in this program, we're going to see firsthand the historical records that categorically prove the Bible has directly affected the most important aspects of our culture.
This inspirational DVD is a must-have resource for believers around the world. Barton presents the words, pictures, and undeniable documents of America's moral and religious heritage. The Influence of the Bible on America is a roadmap for future greatness, not only for America, but for communities and nations around the world. Also included in the Influence package is the book, The Bible, Voters, and the 2008 Election by David Barton, a simple and clear resource of scriptural answers to help biblical voters make informed biblical evaluations in their elections. Order the Influence Package today for $20 online at kcm.org or when you call 800-575-4455. Order this timely DVD and book package and begin walking in the authority and influence God has given you.
This is vital information. The influence of the Bible on America. I know of no man on this earth that knows more, and I've never met one that knows as much about this very subject than David Barton, because God's anointed him in this area. And not only that, he's a hard-working guy. He spends a lot of time at this, and he has insights into these areas that we really do need. This is a DVD, and you need to get a hold of this, along with his new book, The Bible, Voters, and the 2008 Election. This will help you. and I need you to just get busy on it because I need to get this into your hands now so that it can really work for you, so that you got time to be doing the kind of prayer and study that you need to do before Election Day. So, Father, we pray over these leaders. We pray over every person in government. Lord, those are already in office. Yeah. We ask you to strike a fear of God in their heart in the name of Jesus to the point where they will carry out the will of God as you reveal it to them. And those that refuse, I'm asking you to get them out of there. Remove. Don't even wait till election time to remove them, please. They're in the way. This has got to be changed, and it has to be changed now. And we roll all the care of it over into your mighty hands. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November the 13th through the 15th, right there at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. And you need to go to our website, kcm.org, and check it out. Amen. This is the year of the fullness of the blessing and receiving that blessing without measure. Praise God. So get involved in these meetings. Very important thing. Right these last few seconds, David, you were telling me during a break there about the way those old laws were written and so forth. They would say, he had no fear of God. That's the reason he stole this. He had no fear of God. That's the reason he killed so-and-so. It's coming back, folks. Praise God. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. To order this week's teaching with Kenneth Copeland and David Barton on DVD or CD, contact Kenneth Copeland Ministries online at kcm.org or call or write to us today. Remember to request your gift from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the prayer brochure, Make God's Dream a Reality, Vote, free online through our website at kcm.org or when you call 888-326-0011.
God's got parts. He can give you a new heart or new kidneys or new anything else. This is the day of miracles and healing.
I'm moved by what I believe, and I believe what God has said. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness. Hallelujah.
2008 has been an exciting season of meetings, but it's not over yet. Jump into the deeper things of God at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Jump into the fullness of the blessing and walk out all God has for you. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.